Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
May the grace of God and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied in your lives. If you have your Bibles in printed or digital form all over the sanctuary, please hold up your Bibles if you would. Thank you so much. Please turn in them to Exodus chapter 30. By this time, your Bible should open naturally to Exodus 25 through 30. As we continue our study on Christ in the wilderness tabernacle, today our message will be Christ, our supplication. And what a great blessing it is to be here today. What is grace? What is peace? I open that with each and every week. How many are here today? How many are listening in on the internet? How many people are watching a DVD or audio CD at some time later that are hurting inside about something that is going on in their life? You see, on the outside, we all have a mask. Amen? We have our church mask. We have our work mask. We have our fun mask. We have our spiritual mask. And for some listening today, the peace and the grace that I just spoke about, the happiness that you've always searched for, is missing. You see, you're looking for something. You've looked for it everywhere, whether you're here or you're listening in elsewhere. You could be looking for it in so many different places, in entertainment, work, money, sex, drugs, alcohol. There are so many different places that you can be looking for this happiness that you've been searching for. You could be in the middle of a crowd, possibly dancing, listening to inappropriate music, taking part in inappropriate things, and your face will cloud over just for a second because you know that what you're looking for is not there. It is not. The world is coming at our young people. And it's coming with full strength. Now, deep in their hearts, the happiness that our young people are looking for, they know something is missing. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, I declare, based upon the inerrant Word of God, that something is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, for those of you that have not yet asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your lives, you need to turn your life around. You do that by admitting that you are a sinner. When we come here to preach each and every week, we are not here to trick anyone about anything. We are bold in our declaration that it is through Christ alone that salvation is found. That we ask Him for forgiveness, that we admit that we're a sinner, we accept His sacrifice on the cross. And when you repent of your sins, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, there will still be troubles. There will still be bills to pay. There will still be disagreements and arguments with people. There will still be sickness. And unless Christ returns soon, there will still be death to face one day in each and every life here. But I promise you this. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, your heart will be healed. That terrible emptiness will be gone because you have received grace from God. Amen. And the peace found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have turned to Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 through 10, please say amen. We are in the middle of our wilderness tabernacle, Christ in the Wilderness Tabernacle series. And as you know, as I start each week, I'm going to start it exactly the way that I start it every week. We're going to go over the dimensions and the locations of things in the tabernacle. First, the tabernacle itself, you'll notice on the screen, was 75 feet wide and 155 feet long. On the east end, it had a gate about 30 feet across that you would enter through that gate. When you came through the gate, the first thing which you would come to is the altar of sacrifice. This altar of sacrifice speaks to Christ, our sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, paying penance for our sins once and for all if we will only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As you continue into the area, you would then come next to the bronze laver. The laver would be filled with water. And after you went through the sacrifice, after you had accepted Christ as your sacrifice, and as we've talked about before, the priests were washed from head to toe. That symbolizes us being washed in the blood of Christ, the redemptive blood of Christ from head to toe. Week by week, they would come in there, day by day, and as they came to this laver filled with water, representing the Word of God, they would wash their hands and feet, symbolizing that each and every one of us must return to the Word of God daily, and the washing of our hands and of our feet. Then you came to the tent. The tent itself overall was 15 feet wide by about 45 feet long. Generally speaking, it was about as wide as these chairs and all the way back to the sound booth, overall in length. But as you came through that tent, inside the first part was 30 feet deep. The tent was also 15 feet tall from one end to the other. But that first part was 30 feet deep. On the left-hand side, the south side, would be the golden lampstand. The golden lampstand, and it, remember, it was a lampstand, not a... Thank you very much. It was not a candle. Amen. I love it when you guys get involved. Stay involved here. I love that. It was a golden lampstand filled with oil. And this talks about Christ, our sight. Christ is the light of the world. He is the one that reveals to us and reveals to us God's plan, which is salvation is found through Him. On the north side, the right side, was the showbread table. And the showbread represented Christ, our substance. He is the bread of life. He is what we feed upon. He is what fills us in our life. Then the next thing that you come to is you continued through with what we'll be talking about today, the golden altar of incense. Christ, our supplication. That golden altar of incense is where incense representing prayer is lifted up before the throne of heaven. Then you right on the other side, we're going to talk about that today, right on the other side, was the veil. And on the other side of that veil, as you stepped through, was the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies, you had Christ, our satisfaction, found in the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat upon it, the last two pieces of furniture. And as we looked at that Ark of Covenant, we know that inside of it, there were three implements. One was the tablets. The Book of the Covenant, the Book of the Testimony, the Ten Commandments. It also had a jar of manna. Manna, which is also the perfect symbol of God's provision from heaven for His people. Just like Jesus being the bread of life is our provision from heaven. And then it also had a part of Aaron's staff and rod that had bloomed. And we know that rod, the wood that staff was made of was almond. And the almond is the only tree that can appear to be completely and totally dead and sprout. Isn't that good? And so as we continue today, in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, if you're there, please say amen. Reading from the Word of God, you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and two cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. And you should overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding. That word molding, remember, is another word. The real word there is crown. You shall make a molding of gold all around. Two gold rings you shall make for it under the moldings on both its sides. You shall place them on its two sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to God. Today we have 4 points. You guys are doing so good, I figured I'd add another point in there. The first point we have today is that the purpose of the altar. The purpose of the altar. You see, if you look back in chapter 30, verse 1, he says, "You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood." It was to burn incense on. And in the Bible, incense illustrates, it's a symbol of prayer. It's a symbol of intercessory prayer before God. Let me give you an example. Write this down in your margin. You should be able to see it up on the screen. In Psalm 141, verse 2, the psalmist speaking said, "Let my prayer be set before you as" what? "As incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." I believe that the lifting up of hands in praise to God is a holy moment in the sanctuary. We should lift holy hands to our Lord. Now, this incense in the tabernacle burned and was fed continuously. It never went out. It was fed always. The coals came from the brazen altar. The altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice had three fires burning on it. One of the fires was to be burnt. It was the largest set of fire, and that's what the portions of the meat of the sacrifice, of the animals that you see in the tabernacle, they were cut up into very specific sections by the people in accordance with the instructions of God, and that large part of the fire is where those pieces were laid and burned up. There was another set of coals that were burned. That was to be a never-ending fire. That fire never went out. If the other two could go out, but that fire was to never go out, and that was called the never-ending fire. And then the third fire was the fire that was kept running, kept burning, and that was the fire that those coals were taken from there and used in the golden altar to burn the incense upon. Do you get the imagery? That your prayers must go up, but it must be the coals of the sacrifice. It must be the burning fire of the Holy Spirit in your life after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord that helps the incense to burn and to go up before the Lord, your prayers. And all God's people said. You see, the priest would place the spices on the altar of incense, and continually the smoke was going up and perfuming the tabernacle. This is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ who continually intercedes for us to God in heaven. Now listen closely, because we're not reading anything into this text at all. We disseminate the Word of God as it appears in the Word of God. We are always true to the text. Amen? That's why I don't just ask, I insist that you have your Bibles in your laps when we preach. The finished work, listen closely, the finished work of Christ is the brazen altar. It's a brazen altar of sacrifice where Christ died once and for all. The finished work, and then sat down at the right hand of God. But the unfinished work of Christ is the golden altar of incense. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. It's toward the backs of your Bible. It's always a little bit further than you think it is. It'll also be up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, reading from the Word of God. It says, "Therefore he," who is the he? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for" who? "For them." As this incense was continually before the Lord, as it was well-pleasing to His nostrils, Christ is our continuous intercessor. He is our continuous supplicator before the Father. And this will continue, as God the Father says, that supplication will continue until one day the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, God the Father says, "That's enough, son, go get my people." Then we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that a trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend with a shout, And he will gather up those of us that are in him. First, the dead in Christ, and then the rest of us, to be with him forever in heaven. But continuing on, in Hebrews chapter 8, look at chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. If you're there, say amen. Now just there up on the screen, I want you to follow along with me here. Now this is the main part of the... Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated, where? At the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. The Old Testament tabernacle is an illustration of the true tabernacle in heaven. The tabernacle that was made here on earth, the temple that was made here on earth, is simply a pale representation of what is going on in heaven. And as the Old Testament priests offered up incense that went up to the Lord continually, Jesus, our high priest, does the same thing. Once again, if we look at the slide up here, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, you maybe go down. There we go. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through who? Through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What a friend you have in Jesus. He sits at the right hand of God praying for each and every one of you. Young people, when things get tough in school, your heavenly Father is sitting right there, and the Lord Jesus Christ is making intercession for you. You may be going through a tough time, sitting here, for the young people sitting here in the sanctuary, for those listening on the internet, you may be going through a very tough time with your grades. You may be going through a tough time with a difficult teacher. You may be going through a tough time through bullying. But remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is lifting you up in prayer. Call upon Him. Call upon His strength. So where does Christ do this once again? I keep saying over and over and over again, it is in heaven. How do we know that? I'm glad you asked. As we look up on our screen, we should have another passage. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And all God's people said. So what is he doing? He's doing the function of a priest. How? By offering incense. What is that incense? It is intercessory prayer. And so when a tabernacle priest in the Old Testament days, offered intercession on the golden altar, it was just a picture of Jesus Christ, our high priest, who offers intercession for us in the throne room of heaven. Isn't that good? You know, I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. So, what did Hebrews 7:25 say? That he is able to save unto the uttermost. Does that mean that he can save the worst sinner? Yeah, he can, but that isn't what it completely and truly means. When the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost, it means that he will save you, he will keep you, and he will never let you go. You are saved once and forever. You are saved unto, you are taken unto salvation to the uttermost, once and forever, for all of eternity, saved into the presence of God the Father Himself through your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ lives to make intercession for us. Man, that's just so encouraging to me. Because I needed it. I need that. I'm a naturally happy-go-lucky guy. My wife can tell you that. My wife calls me old Mr. Rose-colored glasses. You know, but every once in a while, it's good to remember, hey, Christ is lifting me up before the Father. Did Jesus ever pray a prayer that wasn't answered? The answer to that is, of course, no. On John chapter 11, verse 41, we'll see this up on the screen. John chapter 11, verse 41. It may not be on the screen. Hang on. Let's all turn to John. There it is. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Who was the dead man? Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What did Jesus say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say Lazarus come forth? Because I think if Jesus Christ had said, come forth, every dead body in that graveyard would have jumped up and came out. And that would have really got the people fired up. And all God's people said? Okay. Because He lives to make intercession for us. Jesus always prays in the will of the Father. Therefore, Jesus' prayer was always answered. But if He is praying for us always, what is He praying? Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. It's the great prayer that Jesus prayed while He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's where He prays for Himself, He prays for the disciples, and He prays for us. In John chapter 17, verse 20. Pardon me, John chapter 17, verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus is saying, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. Father, these people are Yours. And I'm praying for them. Look down at verse 15. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. In other words, we are soldiers of Christ. We have been put into this world with the mission to share the gospel. We are aliens in an alien land. And we are placed here as soldiers in Christ to go forth and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are going into enemy territory and we are to grab them and pluck them out when they are saved and place them in the army of God. And then we renew ourselves, we re-strengthen ourselves, and we get ready and we go get another one. And Christ is saying, listen, I lift them up to You that You protect them from the evil one while they're doing Your work. Therefore, when you go and you pray boldly in the name of Jesus, when you read your Bible boldly in the name of Christus, name of Jesus, then you share the gospel and the power and the boldness of Jesus Christ. Just like you're before the throne room of heaven, because you know what? You are. But He keeps us from the evil one. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. He's praying for His disciples there. Does He pray for us? Glad you asked. Look at verse 20. If you're there, say amen. I do not pray for these alone. These alone who? The disciples that He had with Him. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through the Word. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ prayed for you 2,000 years ago. Before the Father. Christ is saying, I don't just pray for these, but I can see for the end from the beginning, and I'm praying for every single blood-bought child of Christ that will ever, ever live. Jesus is saying, keep them, Father. Keep them. Hold them. You see, that's the unfinished work of Christ. He lives to continually make intercession for us. Unending. Rising up incense, rising up into the nostrils of God, well-pleasing to Him. However, it is not only intercession for us, it is intercession through us. Remember the first message in this series? The tabernacle is not only a description of deity, but it's a blueprint of the believer as well. It's a blueprint of the believer. Christ intercedes for and through us. Where does it say that? Glad you asked. On Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, we should have that passage up on the screen. It says, now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of what? Incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This is a scene in heaven where an incense full of the prayers of the saints are gathered up. This angel that is talking about here in Revelation chapter 5. Well, wait a minute. It gets better. We should have Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 up there. It says, when He had opened the seventh seal, who is this messenger? This messenger is Jesus Christ. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Can you imagine that? Heaven, where for all of eternity, as it says in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, that the seraphim are on each side of the throne of God, continuously crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They have been crying out from all of eternity since the angels were created. When He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Why was it silent in heaven? That's a message for another day. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, And to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much, what? Incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was set before the throne. This angel, this messenger is Jesus Christ. He's coming with his hands full of incense. He takes the sweet incense of his worth. He mixes it with the incense of your prayers. And he offers it before the throne of God the Father himself. Amen. This first verse says that our prayers are mixed with his prayers and presented to the Lord, well-pleasing in the nostrils of God. And the tabernacle altar of incense is just a pattern. Just a pattern of what? That one day every blood-bought child of God will be able to offer his prayer to God. Not with the bronze of our sinful emotions, not with the wood of our human goodness, but with the sweet incense of Jesus Christ laid before the throne of God. Back to the book of Exodus. Back to the book of Exodus chapter 30. But I want you to notice that this incense was burned with fire from the brazen altar, which represents the blood sacrifice. We've talked about that many times. You see, friends, when you pray in the power... Listen closely, I don't want to lose you here. When you pray in the power of the blood and the name of Jesus Christ, your prayer is going straight through special delivery before the throne of God. Now remember, there are two altars. Coals taken from the brazen altar and placed upon the golden altar. The brazen altar represents Christ, our sacrifice. The golden altar represents Christ and His exaltation. The brazen altar is for sinners. The golden altar is for saints. The brazen altar is for sacrifice. The golden altar is for supplication. But friends, you cannot come to the golden altar until you come past the brazen altar of sacrifice. You must come through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When you've confessed your sins, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then you're ready to pray. First, the purpose of the altar. Second, we see the pattern of the altar. Exodus chapter 30, verse 2 reads, "A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and two cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it." This was the smallest and yet the tallest piece of furniture. Small because it isn't hard for us to get our prayers heard by God. You just whisper His name and He's there. You just whisper His name in your heart and He's right there. It's tall because it represents that we are never closer to God than we are when we are on our knees in supplication to God. We are never closer. What's it made of? Verse 1, acacia wood. Overlaid with gold, verse 3. The humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ applied to prayer. His humanity can relate to us. His deity brings us right to the Father. He is our one mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, write this in the margin, says, "For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ." The place of meditation between us and God is found only in Christ. There were horns representing power in the four corners of this golden altar, representing the saving power of our Lord. Why four? Representing the four corners of the earth and the four Gospels of Jesus Christ. There is no place on earth that we are not to go. But when we go in the power of the blood of Jesus, then the power that we share of the Gospel will save people to the uttermost throughout the ends of the world. There is power in the name of Jesus. The lesson is that prayer is for all times. It's for all places. You don't have to be in church to pray. Christ's intercession is not limited to our time. It's not limited to this place. And it's certainly not limited to our goodness and our spirituality. It is based in Christ. And whether you are in school or at work or on your patio or in the checkout line, carry your prayer altar of incense with you. You can pray anywhere. But the altar also has a crown, as we saw in verse 4. The crown, the golden crown, the molding, points to the sovereignty of our Lord. You see, the brazen altar had no crown. ago because it was all about the humiliation of Christ on the cross in the sacrifice. But this altar has a crown because it's about the exaltation of Christ. Exaltation of Christ to God the Father. Our God, Christ is high and lifted up. We need to crown Him with many crowns. He is crowned King of Kings. He is crowned Lord of Lords. And this same King Jesus intercedes for you and He intercedes for me unending. Not with uncertainty, not simply asking, but Christ Jesus is commanding and He's declaring His intercession and His sovereign authority, His sovereign power. Why? Because He is King Jesus. Give Him praise in the house of God. And the Father has put all things unto Him. So first we saw the purpose of the altar. Second, the pattern of the altar. Now we talk about the position of the altar. Verse 6 says, and you shall put it before the veil. You shall, I'm going to say that again. That's just so good. You shall put it before the veil. That is before the Ark of Testimony, before the mercy seat. That is over the testimony where I shall meet with you. Do you want to meet with God? Do you want to meet with God? I cannot stress this enough. This altar of incense was the last thing to this in this room that was approached before you went through the veil and into the Holy of Holies. That veil was right before the mercy seat. The mercy seat representing the throne of God. Inside the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. The Shekinah glory that no man can approach and live. Don't miss what I'm saying, folks. The only way to come into the throne room is past the golden altar of incense. What does that mean? It means that the way to approach God, to come directly into this throne room, to come directly into the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, is through personal and intercessory prayer. You must come to God the Father through prayer. Look at chapter 25, verse 22. Flip back a page or two here in your Bibles. Chapter 25, if you're there, say amen. Chapter 25, verse 22, if you're there, say amen. And there I will speak with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. You are to meet with your Father, because when you meet with your Father through intercessory, through personal prayer, He will give you instructions. You see, sometimes we think prayer is us simply talking to God. Most of prayer is us listening to God. He's got something to say to us. So, God says, I will speak with you. So, speaking about each one of us personally, when someone, think about this, I want you to listen closely. Everybody's eyes up here. When you ask someone to pray for you, remember this, Christ is already before God the Father. He's already right there interceding for your prayers. You have already prayed about the very thing you're asking them to pray for. You have already prayed personally to God in the presence of His Shekinah glory because you have passed through the veil of the Lord Jesus Christ and entered the Holy of Holies. So Christ is interceding for you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have already personally prayed before God the Father in the throne room of heaven. You are saying to the person that you're asking to pray for you, I have already prayed personally. Right this second, Christ is praying personally. Would you please join us in the Holy of Holies, in the direct presence of the Shekinah glory of God? I'm asking you, fully understanding that I want you to understand, please intercede with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, on my behalf. Please intercede with the Creator of heaven and earth, the great I Am that I am. Would you do that for me, please? Pray for me. It gives a whole different meaning to the concept of asking someone to pray for you. Now look at verses 7 and 8 back in chapter 30. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. The incense and the golden lampstand are linked. Notice he tends to the lampstand first. Then he
burns the incense. What does that mean? It means that our intercession and our testimony must always be linked together. Our prayers and our testimony are linked. You can't let your light shine unless your incense is burning. I'm not sure you got that. You can't let your light shine unless your incense is burning. There are some people in ministry who just want to burn incense, and there are others that just want to trim the lamps. But the two are linked. And God didn't accidentally do it this way. And here's how we get in trouble, folks. Some of us try to go out and be the light of the world, and we haven't prayed. Others try to pray, but they've never gone out. No, sharing the gospel, that's for somebody else. That's their gift of evangelism. Both are destined for failure. You must do both. You see, a person that goes without praying is a fool. And a person that prays without going is a fraud. We have been commanded to pray and to go. Now, how do you go? Well, that you have to listen to what God says in your heart. How do you know? If you're standing next to somebody and the Lord comes to your heart and the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to your heart, guess what? You were just told. Share the gospel with them. Invite them to church. All God's people said, amen. Amen. But when you do that, when we pray and then we go, we become soul winners. We become soul winners. Entering into the presence of God directly. First, we saw the purpose of the altar. Then the pattern of the altar. Then the position of the altar. Finally, we see the people of the altar. Verse 9 and 10, you shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it through the generations. It is most holy to the Lord. It is clear that God does not want anybody who is not qualified to handle this altar. I wish we had the time, but I want you to understand that the specific incense is also linked to the specific anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the oil in the lampstand is a representation of the Holy Spirit of God overflowing and filling. And the specific incense is linked to that specific anointing oil. And anyone that steps outside of those boundaries that God gave, that He gave right here, was dealt with immediately. The best biblical example is Dumb and Dumber over in Nadab and Abihu over in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It says that they didn't read this, or they slept through chapel that morning. They offered strange fire before the Lord. That means that they were going to take this abomination of incense, put it in the censer, and actually go into the presence of God with this unholy prayer. It said, while the thought was in their mind, the fire came from before the Lord and consumed them. Now, the Bible is always accurate, but it's not exhaustive in detail because it doesn't say anything. But we can kind of believe that Aaron talked to Moses about it. Like, what's going on? We are the priests. We serve God. How could this happen? Moses says in verse 3, Leviticus chapter 10, the Lord God has said, by all who come before me, I must be regarded as holy. And so that's why here at Living Hope Church, when we serve God through the praise team, through our band, through our audio-video ministry, through our greeters, our goal is that we serve God appropriately and that people don't see what a great job we did, but all they know is that they met with Christ when they came to Living Hope Church. We have some amazing musicians. Brother Cliff does an amazing job. I think we've got one of the best drummers I've ever seen. Amen. We have Davidson, who fills this chapel with the music of his keyboards. Our praise team lifts their hearts and just brings us into God's presence. Why? Not for us, but for Him. Amen. That people would know that there is a God. You know what? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, as our praise team comes. You see, we've been given very specific instructions on entering the presence of the Lord. And anyone who attempts to serve the Lord
without first coming past the altar of sacrifice, known as the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, never depending or washing in the laver of the Word of God, being sanctified, never depending upon the light of Christ in the golden lampstand, not once feeding upon the sustaining bread of life, Christ our sustenance, bypassing the supplicating altar of incense, and tries to bypass all of that and then come into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, is guaranteed the judgment of God. Folks, our God is a holy God, and His grace and His mercy abounds. And there is incredible news for you today, that you can come into His presence through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't get all of those parts of it. I don't understand everything that you just talked about. You don't need to. All you need is Jesus Christ in your heart. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts say, Come. Let whosoever desire, let him take of the water of life freely. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ." I end this message the same way I always start. May the grace of God the Father and the peace of His Son Jesus Christ be multiplied in your lives. And all God's children said, every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.